If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends and fellow gamers around the world. We are the Video Gamers Podcast, and we are absolutely thrilled to have you here as we break down this week in gaming. So much news to get to this week. I'm so excited. It's going to be an absolute blast. I am your host, Paul, and joining me, I'm going to start charging him a fee for each podcast he downloads, even though that was never our arrangement to begin with. It's Josh.
You can't do this, Paul. That's not the agreement we had in the beginning. You said that I only had to pay you once a month to be on this show.
Mm-hmm. Not anymore, buddy. I'm changing the terms of the contract.
I've altered our arrangement. Pray I do not alter it further.
Very nice. And then joining Josh and me, I know that he got burned by the release of Cyberpunk, but I'm hoping that he might be willing to give it another go and get his first case of cyber psychosis. It's Ryan.
I feel like I keep saying this, but I'm ready.
So much good stuff on the horizon. All right. So as we jump into this week in gaming, we want to make sure that our listeners go check out our social media account. You can find us everywhere at Video Gamers Pod, and also come check out Patreon support options. You can think of it as like a tip here for this free podcast. Despite what some people probably out there think, podcasting's not terribly lucrative. We do rely very much on listener support. We operate because of you guys. And you also get bonus episodes and perks on Discord, stuff like that. So come join the squad today over at multiplayersquad.com. All right, so boys, I thought it would be nice if we maybe like prioritized the negative news first. That way we can end on a positive note. I think it also works because I think the biggest news story of the week is regarding Unity, one of the most popular gaming engines. To give our listeners an idea of how popular Unity is, half of all mobile games are designed in Unity, also 60% of VR games. There are many popular games that I'm sure our listeners have heard of, including Hearthstone, Rust, Among Us, Hollow Knight, Fall Guys, Pokemon Go, Outer Wilds, Genshin Impact. I mean, these are like huge games. And Unity basically announced a new business model that will start in January, which is going to add runtime fees. Previously, larger companies just had to pay a flat monthly rate, as Josh mentioned in the opening. And now Unity has basically come in and just said, hey, moving forward, we're going to start charging you every time someone decides to install the game. Which, if you want that to be your business model from the outset, that's one thing, but it's a whole nother thing when you have an agreement with developers and now you just come in and unilaterally change that agreement. What are your guys' thoughts on this news about Unity?
Well, you said Unity, I think, six or seven times, so that's going to be $79.95. You can make that payable right away.
Oh, no. Censor it. Just put beeps.
Beep, beep. Beep.
Oh. The only thing I want to say to the developers and to Unity and all that is nobody likes microtransactions, do they? How's it feel, devs? I'm just kidding. I'm really on the dev side on this one, but
it is just a little taste of your own medicine for some of them.
I couldn't help but just be a troll for a second. I will say this is super crappy, dude. Unity is a huge engine. Everybody, you know, the big thing is Unreal Engine, right? Because Unreal Engine 5 is around. Unity is huge. So this is no like small potatoes, like side news story. This is monster news for the gaming industry. And I mean, the devs that use Unity are rightfully upset. Cult of the Lamb, which was a very popular game, indie game that came out, I think, last year, just basically told people, you better hurry up and buy our game because we're pulling it. We're not gonna support Unity anymore. There's no way you can't strong arm us into this. It's just bad, man. It's just like you can't have an arrangement with people and then come back and say, hey, we're going to change that arrangement now that you're in this middle of your dev cycle at this point. I mean, games take years to make. So
this is
not something where you can like, oh, well, I think I'll opt out. Or, okay, like you're stuck and nobody likes that.
In case anyone out there isn't sure how game developers feel about this news, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Gary Newman is the guy who developed Gary's Mod and Rust. He posted a blog and the title was the title is Unity Can Get Effed.
Yes.
And it's out there. This is a family friendly show, obviously, but like that is out there for the public. He swore that, well, he did swear, but he also swore in the future that Rust 2 will not be designed on Unity. We are also seeing very similar news come out of all kinds of other developers. Among Us, Slay the Spire, they have all said we will not partner with Unity in the future. We're going to move on to Unreal or something else. So this is a really big deal. For smaller people who are just learning, like you can get a free license with Unity. So this is only hitting the larger developers, but it's so messed up to say, hey, you just have to pay a monthly fee to license our program and then now change the deal. Like Rust has been in development for 10 years and you can't just go back on that later. I mean, this is just complete insanity. This wouldn't stand as a business model anywhere else. So I totally understand why developers are mad. Plus, people were saying things like, am I going to get charged if they download a free demo? What if my game's free to play? What if it gets added to a bundle that I didn't even know about?
You get charged for all of those.
Well, they came out and they've said, like, if you're part of a bundle, you won't, or if it's a charity giveaway. But then people are like, well, how are you even going to know? So there's still a lot of questions here, but what a weird story.
That's wild.
You can't treat people this way. The only thing too, like, it kind of bugs me is, like, obviously this is all monetary based, right? Unity's going, we need to make more money, guys. How are we going to do that? And somebody went, what if we just charge everybody like per install of a game?
And let's just double dip.
Yeah, let's just
they've already paid. Let's just charge them again.
At what point is enough money, man? Like, is there not a company out there that is just like, we're good, we're making millions? Let's just,
of
we're
course
good, guys.
Not. No.
You know, like everybody's just enough. Like, how do we make more? I need more money. And like, I mean, I am very glad to see that the response to this was so unilateral amongst developers. I will say that Unity just posted on Twitter, I believe it was earlier today, that said, listen, we've heard the outcry. We've talked to people. You know, we're listening, and they came out and basically said, we're going to talk about this and we're going to make some changes. Now that
too
doesn't
bad,
mean that
suckers.
They're doing away. Yeah. Doesn't mean they're doing away with the plan. They're just, you know, they're aware that people are upset at least.
Well, and the irony is the whole purpose of this is to make more money, and Unity's stock has tanked.
Oh, it's,
I mean, it's gone down really bad over the last several years, but even just over the last week, I mean, it's dropped from being pretty much right around 40. Now it's trading around 36. Like, that's a pretty sizable drop. Jeez. So I don't know if it's going to stay there or not, but yeah, what a banana story. It's such a weird business practice, shooting themselves in the foot, really.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk a little bit about X Defiant. This is a game that we've talked about on the show quite a bit in the past. This is the Ubisoft take on Call of Duty. Ryan and I got to play several matches together as well during beta testing. The weird thing about this game is that it's supposed to release sometime within the next few weeks, but there's still no release date. What we found out is that X Defiant actually failed certification on console, both with PlayStation and Xbox. We do not know the specific reason why it failed certification. It does not necessarily mean that the game has bugs. As we all know, Cyberpunk 2077 was horrendous on Sony, and it still made it through certification. I guess it more so has to do with meeting certain standards, like displaying a save icon or friend lists working, things like that. So the game failed certification. They say that they have resubmitted with both consoles, but depending on those results, then we'll find out when this game's going to release. It might still be September. It might be October. It might be that they get a conditional pass with a giant day one patch. That's why you sometimes see those, by the way. Are you guys worried about the state of the game, or do you feel like this is more of a non-story?
I feel like it's kind of a non-story. They never really came out and said the exact day that they were planning on releasing anyway. This game felt pretty finished when we got to play the beta, and that was, what, 2 months ago? 3 months ago? It was a little... They've had some time since then. It ran smooth. It was fun. I mean, this is one that it's going to be free to play, too, which is really nice. So I did start to get a little tired of it towards the end of the beta, because, I mean, it's just Call of Duty, really. I think this is just going to be, we're not going to hear about this again until it releases. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey guys, X Defiant is out. Everybody's going to hop in and pick it up, and you know, we'll see where the longevity of it is. But I want to play it. It's a fun game.
Yeah, it was good. Paul and I had a ton of fun when we played together. So, sucks that, you know, this had to happen this way, and it's kind of probably puts kink in things, and then people may be turned off a little bit, but I think it was really, really fun. I think a lot of people will enjoy playing the game, so I think this won't deter too many, but you know, hopefully they get on it.
Just time your release to not be with another huge game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Phantom Liberty.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah, I will say that I did find it refreshing that Ubisoft was just open about the process. I'll admit, I never looked into it. I didn't know how certification worked until just this week. And I liked that they were just like, hey, this is why we don't have a release date. It's not a big deal. A lot of games fail certification at first. That's why you get these day one patches. But it seems like the game is shaping up pretty well. I just want to get back to throwing spider bots on the ground. Yeah,
that was so fun, man. But there's a lot to be said for transparency. It just brings a comfort to, you know, the consumer, and then where, you know, okay, you know, I know what the deal is. I have some sort of idea of what's going on, and I feel comfortable with this. So yeah, as long as we can get through that, and then like you said, throw spider bots, I'm in.
At first I saw the title of the articles and I was like, oh no, are we gonna have to like do another drive-by on Ubisoft, because we're always trashing them on the show. Here at least I was like, okay, it's not as bad as it sounds once you know what it actually means to fail certification. I mean, it's not great, but it doesn't mean that there's an issue with the actual game. All right, and then our last quote-unquote sad story of the week is in regards to Immortals of Avium. This is also a game that we previewed quite a bit on the show. It released last month, and it sold so poorly that they announced that they had to lay off 45% of their workforce.
Ouch.
This game looked absolutely gorgeous. The graphics were incredible. That also came at a cost. You know, Josh and I poked fun an awful lot at the fact that you had to have a supercomputer just to get 30 frames per second on high settings. And this game did so poorly on PC. The all-time high concurrent player count on Steam was only 751 players.
Ouch.
And that was 26 days ago. I checked it today. There's only 80 people playing Immortals of Avium through Steam. That's only half of people playing Forspoken, which came out several months ago and is a complete wreck. So what went wrong?
I mean, honestly, if you make a game where the requirements to play your game are supercomputers, I mean, I have a very good computer. I would be able to play this at like 30 frames a second at 4K. I mean, it's just, I think you severely limit yourself in that regard. I know that for me, that was part of it. It was just like, I don't want to spend $60 for a game that I can't run very well. part of that is that we've seen so much poor optimization this year that I think people are starting to get like nervous about, is this game going to run good? Is it going to be choppy? Is it going to be laggy? Like all that's, I think that's kind of moving towards the forefront for a lot of gamers. And so when you say, hey guys, here's this game, it looks beautiful, but you probably aren't going to be able to run it. I'm just going to not play it at that point.
I just had built this computer. You know, I built it right when we were starting, kind of like when I joined the podcast and everything. But the way, you know, the way they have these games set up now with the optimization and everything, you know, you get these people like that. I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to risk not having a good time, a good experience, a good, you know, enjoyment playing this game or trying to play this game with my rig, because not everybody has these crazy 4090s and all these, you know, however many gigs of RAM and everything. So not everybody has a crazy system to play these things. And so if it's not optimized properly and it's not set up to where they can play this game, they're not going to take the risk. They're not going to put their money down, you know, which we've experienced that it's hard to get that money. So why would they waste it for something that's not enjoyable to them?
Yeah. I think
you both make really good points. I think also it's a rough year anyone.
That's what I was going to say next.
Oh, yeah.
Even worse than that, I think it's a truly terrible name. I think when you call your game Immortals of Avium, first of all, that's a really long name and it does not tell you a single thing about the game. I mean, obviously something like Starfield has Bethesda behind it and all the PR and everything to go along with it. But Starfield is like a short name. It implies space travel, right? Like it at least gives you something. Immortals of Avium is a terrible name. This to me is like Immortals Phoenix Rising. Yeah. Like you get these goofy long titles that are just really bad. So I think it's a bad title. I think the high requirements, no one really knew what this game even really was. I do think that it's a shame so many people got laid off, but I wouldn't say it's a complete surprise in this regard. It is still a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, I feel bad for the people. I mean, nobody likes losing their job by any means. Yeah. I just think this game lacked any kind of flavor. Its flavor was that it looked really good, but it was because it was like a shooter. It was just particles and stuff everywhere. So even though it was really pretty, it's just kind of like, I get tired of seeing all these bright colors and particles. So then what am I looking at? What's at that hook? Point? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, the good news is we're done with all the sad news of the week. So let's go ahead and take a break and we'll come back to all the fun stuff.
Lose the depression and dry your eyes and we'll come back with the fun, happy stories now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, guys, on to the happier news of the week. Very exciting week for Cyberpunk fans.
Oh,
as of today, when this episode releases, Cyberpunk 2.0 is already live. Josh and I have really tried screaming from the rooftops that Cyberpunk is largely fixed. Most of the issues at launch have been dealt with. It's still not perfect. There are some technical issues, but this update comes with so many improvements to the base game And not only that, we're still going to get 5 days down the road the expansion Phantom Liberty, but here in Cyberpunk 2.0, there are things added to the game like vehicle combat. Cops are more ruthless and an actual threat. Ooh. The skill bush has been turned into an actual usable skill tree. I love the fact that if you hack too much, you're going to get cyberpsychosis. That's something that should have been in this game from the very beginning. But I love the fact that they're adding stuff like this. What do you guys want to talk about with Cyberpunk?
Everything.
You guys have played a lot more than me, so you'll know. I was part of that beginning stage that got just inundated
with issues.
Yeah, all of the issues, all the horrible things, and I ground through it, and I jumped out of that tower, and you know, I slid down with Jackie, and I did all those things. So I got pretty dang far in the game, but yeah, I had so many issues, so many errors. So I'm so excited to see that, one, they fixed everything, and then two, they're coming with some new stuff that's supposed to be even better. So I know you guys are super stoked. I'm also equally super stoked as I see you guys, like, your excitement build. So I'm just going to let you guys riff on it for a little
you've
bit.
You've never played it since your first time playing it, where it was very janky, right?
Yeah. See, I haven't played
it. That was me, and then I went back and played it with Paul because we did a deep dive on it, and I almost wish I hadn't at this point because I want to play it again now that they're doing all the stuff with 2.0. There's no way I'm playing. There's no way I'm playing Cyberpunk.
Start fresh, baby. Come on, you can do it.
Oh, don't tempt me, guys. Because your kids are old enough.
They don't need a dad. Check out. Oh, man. A few weeks, you're good to go.
But, you know, all of the stuff that we're reading says, listen, these changes, we'll call it 2.0. These are changes to just Cyberpunk, the base game. This has nothing to do with Phantom Liberty, but they said that it fixes so many issues that Cyberpunk had with like its RPG elements and its builds and stuff like that. Like, one of the best things I read was like, basically you get all these clothes that have stats and armor. It doesn't matter. You know, like, you get weapons, that's fun, but there's none of the stats really change the way the weapons shoot or feel. It's all just percentages of reload and blah, blah, blah. And so that part of the game really didn't stand out a whole lot. And apparently now it's like, dude, you get to be cyber ninjas and hackers and but like, you're actually like playing as this build at that point, which sounds incredible to me. So the skill trees alone, you guys know I love me a good skill tree. That alone would change the way that the initial game feels and make it even better, which is crazy to say because it's already really, really good.
Really fun.
Yeah. So if I was Ryan, I'd be so doing another playthrough when 2.0 hits if I hadn't already played it
ready.
Twice.
I'm ready.
Oh, I mean, I love Cyberpunk. We have our top 10 games of all time on our website, videogamerspod.com. I have Cyberpunk at number 6 overall, so I am thrilled for these updates. I am the kind of guy who will replay games over and over. The Dragon Ages, the Mass Effects, I've played through them so many times. Cyberpunk's right up there with me. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch these YouTube videos, but CD Projekt Red put out 3 videos of 3 new builds you can do with 2.0. By any chance, did you guys watch Bullet Time Ninja?
I did. Oh, I actually watched all these, dude.
It's sick.
Yeah, it is really sick. I mean, this is what I was talking about, is you now have a different way to play this game. I never was, I played Netrunner, I think, on my second playthrough, but I never hacked like people. Like, they've got all these like things you can burn out their eyes and then you can contagion them where it's apparently it spreads to other people if they're close, and none of that stuff ever worked for me. The only time I ever hacked somebody was to blind them so I could sneak past. But like, now they're showing that build where it's like they're blinding people and then it spreads to everybody, but then they explode because the guy's got a grenade in his pocket and you hack the grenade. It's just crazy. Yeah, so
that,
like,
sounds wild.
This is much more like play the game you want, like play it how you want to play it. Which wasn't really a thing that stood out in Cyberpunk to me.
So I loved the net running build when I initially played Cyberpunk. And that was incredibly fun. But you were always limited because you only had a certain number of little RAM chips that you could use. So one of the things that they're changing is that... So all the abilities that you mentioned before, Josh, were in there. But What is different now is that you can actually keep casting hacks at the expense of your health. So you can just keep going, and they now synergize and do combos together. So that's where you're starting to see the net running get so much more powerful. They also highlighted that you can hack cars.
That was cool.
And turn them into like kamikaze bombs.
Yes.
They'll just like drive and like follow someone and then explode, which is cool. The Bullet Time Ninja looked so much fun because this to me looked like playing your favorite action movie. So basically you can do dashes that put you into bullet time, and you can also deflect bullets with a katana, which is kind of funny. But when they showed the action, they had a guy come in hot, like on a huge group of mobs, flying in on a motorcycle, and he hits a ramp, jumps off the motorcycle, starts deflecting bullets, and just starts slicing and dicing everybody. I would love to play through with that kind of build. It just looked so incredibly fun. They even also highlighted another build with a guy with a giant sledgehammer, and there's like earthquake abilities where you hit the ground and you're knocking people back, and
Oh, wow.
They've added all these finisher moves. It yeah. looks pretty incredible.
So now for me, like, this sounds almost overwhelming with how much more things there are, like, because I've played some of the game, but you know, is it really that much, or is it kind of streamlined to where it kind of flows as you play?
It's going
to
be streamlined because of your builds. It's all in your skill trees.
It's just
and
builds.
They divide gotcha. The skill trees into like the categories of like how you want to play. So if you want to be like a stealthy hacker, you're going to want to go into this skill tree. If you want to be bullet time flying ninja, you're probably going to want to go into this skill tree. So it's kind of like that, in the sense that it's like, how do I want to play? And then you just play that way.
Oh, awesome.
It's actually ironically less confusing now, because the way the skill tree worked, which was the giant joke, it was a skill
yeah.
bush.
Yeah, skill
you
bush.
You saw 30 abilities, and you'd have to mouse over all of them and like read a description. And then it was like you would start in the middle, but then it didn't make it clear what unlocked
it was
what.
A mess.
Yeah, it's been redone. It's more traditional. You can just kind of look, okay, I want this build. Great. Here's the new design skill tree, and it just makes more sense. So I think it'll actually be better for everyone, including noobs. All right. Well, as much as I love talking about Cyberpunk, let's go ahead and move on to our last story of the week. This is a little bit of a gaming rumor. So BioWare has been surprisingly quiet about Mass Effect. There was a little bit of a teaser that they released. I think it was like almost 2 years ago, maybe. But they haven't talked about anything else about the game. And then there was an uncorroborated rumor on a podcast this week that after the failures of Andromeda, that they are now removing open world exploration from Mass Effect and going back to the original formula from the Commander Shepard trilogy, that it would be more of a linear adventure. And if that's true, I say hallelujah. I love linear adventures. Not every game has to have open world mechanics.
Yeah. It's so funny because we've been saying that for a while now. Like, you don't have to do this. I know that it was a huge thing for a little while, and every dev tried to jump on it and went, well, we've got to have open world, apparently. You don't. And what's funny about that is Assassin's Creed Mirage is coming out, and we think that it looks good because it's a return to the older formula, which is a linear yeah. story, right? We just got done talking about Cyberpunk, which is a true open world game, but does it phenomenally, you know? And so there's games where it can work, and there's games where you don't have to have it, and it's not necessary for it to be a good game. And Paul, I'm with you, especially in the Mass Effect series. They gave you little snippets of being able to just kind of go and do what you wanted to do. Like when Mass Effect was, I think it was one where it had the planet exploration with the roamer thing, the Mako,
yeah.
right? Or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So they gave yep. you some things to distract you, but the storyline itself was very contained, right? And that's one reason that Mass Effect is so good. Right, I'll be honest. I never played Andromeda. I heard they tried to make it open world. It got kind of bashed from the beginning,
mediocre.
and I went. I'm just not going to do this. Then I'll just, you know, I'll keep my you know, happy opinions of Mass Effect. But yeah, I like this trend that we're seeing where people are realizing we can craft this experience. It does not have to be open world.
Yeah, you don't always have to take something that's, you know, doing well and try to always mirror it and match it. You can always stick with what you're good at. Like, you know, they created an amazing game, and they don't have to try to change it to match what's hot, you know. Right. So I'm not a big Mass Effect guy. I know Paul is, since as long as I've known him, but
favorite series.
Yeah. So
number one of all time.
Absolutely. So I get it. I know he's going to be super stoked for this. We're all probably going to definitely check it out. But yeah, it's exciting to see somebody also kind of put their foot down. We're not just going to follow the trend. We're going to go with what makes sense for us and what our development team is going to do, and make a game that is going to be fun, engaging, and enjoyable, and, you know, not just go with what everyone wants.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that the rumors are true.
Yeah.
there was a time, especially as MMOs started coming out, that open world exploration was the big hotness, of course, and every game had to have open world, and you had games like Elder Scrolls Daggerfall, where it was like the biggest open world ever made, and that was like something everyone touted. But then like everyone started adding open world, and it's like, what are we doing? Even, you know, earlier this week, Josh, you were talking about how the exploration of a game like Starfield doesn't feel as exploratory because it's just more random procedural generation. The planets just look different. As soon as you throw open world, I think it just creates unrealistic expectations. There's nothing wrong having a contained, handcrafted adventure that doesn't have a whole bunch of procedural generation. That's not a dirty word. I think that's perfectly fine. I love if they are going back to the roots of Mass Effect. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, that wraps up everything in regards to This Week in Gaming. We want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners for joining us. Please go check out Patreon support options over at multiplayersquad.com. You can unlock bonus episodes. You get some perks in Discord, and you get a shout out on the show. Make sure to go check that out. And we would also love if you would rate our podcast 5 stars, both in Spotify and Apple Podcasts. All right, that wraps everything up. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, happy gaming.
See ya.
All right, see everybody.